bird, which I believe was a type and shadow of Jesus. And he says, neither. Whose side are you on? We're on neither side. But we're on God's side. And that's where we need to hold our position from in all that we do. For although we live in the natural realm, we do not wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. You know, it always bothers me when I hear believers. Now, I'm not anti-counselor, hear me. As long as I believe that their counseling skill set comes from a biblical background. But when it comes from a Freudian background, it's kind of like, I hear of some of these pastors going, you know, it just didn't work, so I'm going to a psychologist who is helping me process through this. That has no biblical basis at all. And what I see happening in the end is, wait a minute, doesn't the Word of God say that the words of life are here? In this book, in the truth, in the Word of God? Why are we going to the world thinking the world has the answers when God and God alone has the answers that are true and right? Amen? Amen. And there are people out there right now that need truth. What they've believed is a lie. And they need truth to come alongside them. And that truth is contained within every one of you if you're walking with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attack that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bowed in the obedience to the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such a dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. Now, let me read a portion of this out of the Amplified. This is interesting. I'm starting at verse 4 in the Amplified, chapter 10, verse 4 and verse 5. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not physical. They're not weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely empowered for the destruction of fortresses. You contain in you the weaponry to bring down strongholds. You know, this is why I get bothered when people always talk about their problems. Stop talking about your problems. Start talking to your problems with the authority that's inside of you and watch your problems go. Because of what you carry inside of you. Then it says, we are destroying sophisticated arguments. I love that terminology. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. This thought that what is inside of us, what we contain in us as born-again believers is the ability to destroy these so-called worldly sophisticated arguments. I'm telling you, nothing, absolutely nothing has come down the pipe that can withstand the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And nothing ever will come down the pipe that can take over and conquer and push back against the Holy Spirit. It won't happen. Remember, Revelation chapter 12 tells us there was a war in heaven. And one third of all the angels, along with Satan. So Satan and his crispy critter minions got thrown to the earth. There's still two thirds out there, guys. And think about it. There is no weapon that Satan can form that's going to prosper against a truly spirit-filled army of God. There is no weapon. Nothing. But we have to get our head around that. Everyone's freaking out right now because of you know, our current administration is signing all these things. I'm telling you, nothing's going to prosper against what God wants to do. Amen. We just have to remember that and walk strong in that. There is nothing more dangerous than an individual who understands why they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know why you are filled with the Holy Spirit? The moment you do, you become a dangerous weapon, especially to the demonic realm. There is no one more unstoppable than a person who has been baptized in the Spirit and who has experienced the fire of God falling upon them. And they suddenly wake up to the fact that I was created for such a time as this. I was created to get in there and wrestle with the best of them. But God is on my side and I will triumph. Take this jacket off here. You know, 2020, whoo, what a year. We had wave after wave of catastrophic events coming at us. We had COVID, pandemic, whatever that is, it coming at us. We had fires that raged through 3,300 something structures were torched just in Southern Oregon. That's not the entire state. That's not even the, I mean, there was thousands upon thousands of homes that were burned to the ground. And I'm telling you, wave after wave kept coming. But in that moment, we saw these heroes stand up. We called them first responders. And I'm very thankful for the first responders. I am thankful for the courageous doctors and the nurses and the men and women who got in there and rolled up their sleeves and got in there and got it done and helped people. And it's still going on today. But I'm telling you, it's time for a new group of heroes to appear for such a time as this. A new group of heroes who believe and are filled with the fire of God and know with clarity what they're called to do and what their purpose is. How many of you want to be part of that team? Yes. You know, in 1906, there was an incredible revival that came to a little street in downtown Los Angeles. Does anyone know the name of that street? Yes, Azusa Street. Mario Murillo says that he says the testimony of Azusa Street needs to hit us like a Mack truck in this moment. William Seymour, who was the man who had the heart, and he just came in and God used him in a powerful way. He was the one who, I'll say, oversaw the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at that turn of the century moment. But I'm telling you, William Seymour had none of the advantages that we have today. He didn't have Facebook, thank God. He didn't have all the technologies that we have today, all the bells and the whistles and the smoke machines and the skinny jeans and that churches are creating all over the country. He had none of that. But his results were far beyond what we're seeing today. Far, far beyond what we're seeing today. Why? Because the power of God showed up. God's presence invaded that little tiny barn, stable, building, whatever it was that they were in. It was just a rundown shanty, really. And you know, today we have something like 650 million people who have been affected by that moment. 650 million Spirit-filled people. What if we got our act together? You imagine how powerful that would be? You imagine how much freedom would come? How many people that are held in bondage and captivity and all the stuff that's going on around the world, freedom would come? That would be an amazing moment. You know, we have these modern church growth experts who come along and they're trying to show us the ways that we can get people into church. And, you know, if you do this and you have that flashy this and that light and put the disco ball in the middle and spin it and play the right music, man, they're just going to come like crazy. Let's have all these programs. And so more and more programs. It's more and more programs. I could care less about programs. Now, listen, I do know that we need structure because it's like good coffee. I love a good cup of coffee. But if I don't have a cup to contain it, you pour it, it's just going to go everywhere. Right? So having a good cup, structure is important. God is a God of structure. God is a God of order. But we've created all these add-on things that are ridiculous. And in the end, people are leaving empty and not filled. Something inside them is still full of angst. It's because they have not experienced the living God. So we see that in the process of all these modern experts trying to show us how to grow church and make all this happen and get big numbers, we look at the historical stories of Azusa Street, and we see that people stampeded to the building. We see that people stampeded to the altar. And they were drawn by God and by God alone. They were drawn by the Holy Spirit. They were drawn by people who had been touched by the presence of God. And they go, "Why are you so different today, brother? What is so different about you?" It's like, man, God just came. And what? What does that look like? Come, why don't you come with me tonight? And I just want you to experience something. And they would go, and they too would encounter the power of God. And it would radically, radically alter their lives. You know, they say that where William Seymour met, it was incredibly primitive. I think they pounded some boards together for people to sit on, some seats of some kind. We're talking an old stable mill kind of building. Really, I'm sure the wind would blow through there. I'm sure it was quite cold. If you lit a match, the whole thing would probably go up. Although the presence of God, it probably was pretty warm in there. I don't know. But at the end of the day, we saw that moment in history become like a magnet that attracted thousands upon thousands of people showed up because they were hungry for the presence of God. They say that William Seymour would get down and he would put his head inside milk crates or peach crates and he'd begin to pray. Inside a crate, he'd put his head inside a crate. Not sure why he did that, but maybe some of you do, but he'd put his head inside a crate and he would just pray. I don't know what he prayed, but it was powerful because all of a sudden the heavens would open up and they would burst open and the presence of God would just rain down and everyone in that room experienced the power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, whatever you want to put a tag on it. That's what they experienced. Life altering, life changing moment. And I'm telling you, it wasn't some hyped up, choreographed event. It wasn't some slick presentation done on some kind of super slideshow or something. Nothing. It was just the raw glory of God. Guys, that's what I'm hungry for. I've lived long enough to see the bells and the whistles, and I'm telling you, in the end, there's nothing in them. But I'll tell you, when God shows up, when the power of God radically comes upon you, it absolutely changes your whole entire world. How many of you know that to be true? Well, this must be a divine moment because I'm missing my first page here. But I know what I wrote. It's time. It's time that we spend a season really focused on shutting out the noise and really begin to focus on how God speaks to us. I'm not talking about how the world speaks to us. I'm talking about how God speaks to us through His Spirit. God speaks to us from His Spirit to something within inside of us. It's called the inner man. That's what God speaks to. A lot of times we hear it up here and it gets messed up because of everything that's going on here. But God is speaking here. And a lot of times it's not this big, flashy, outward, showy thing going on. It's simply a still, small voice. But we have to learn to center ourselves long enough to hear what God is speaking. Guys, this is going to take some discipline. It's really quite simple when you understand that as a new creation, God has given us the ability because He's recreated our spirit inside of us. He's placed His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, inside of us and made a home for it within our hearts. And what happens is God begins to speak. And if we listen here, we really listen here, we begin to hear what God is speaking to us. Amen? You have to understand that at the very core, we are spiritual creatures. Amen? I don't mean to get weird on you. Where's he going? But that's the truth. We are spiritual beings. That's why sometimes you're walking and you perceive something. How many of you have ever had that moment where you perceive something's not quite right? You've walked into a situation and you've got this premonition, they call it, that something's not right. Or you meet someone and you go, something's not right here. It's something within you that the Holy Spirit is going, take note. But if you spent time listening and talking to and reading God's word and meditating on his word and communing with God and learning how he speaks to us individually in our hearts, you'll know what he's saying about that person. How many of you have ever gone up and you met somebody and all of a sudden you felt a kindred spirit? Then you find out they're a believer. It's because we're spiritual beings. Something happens on that spiritual plane. But my point is that God is always speaking. God has always wanted to communicate with his people. Always. It's always been God's his intention to talk to us and speak to us. And it always will be his intention to speak to us. That is his heart. You know, God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. Before they went, it all fell apart. God went in and said, hey, guys, this is what you can and this is what you cannot do. And when Adam and Eve fell into sin and fell away, did God still come to talk to him? Yeah, he did. He walked into the garden. Adam, where are you? And Adam was hiding. He was ashamed. He was afraid. We see where God spoke to Cain when Cain killed his brother Abel. We read in the Old Testament where God spoke to Abraham. And we see on and on and on how God communicated with Isaac and Jacob and so many others. We see throughout the Old Testament that God is always in communication with his people, whether it was through the prophets or directly to someone. It was a little rare to someone, but God definitely spoke through prophetic ministry in terms of the prophets. He spoke encouragement. He spoke admonishment, and all the while leading them into a promised place. In the New Testament church, We see God speaking even more and giving direction. The book of Acts repeatedly, over and over and over, tells us and records how God in various ways communicated his will and his purposes to the church. So point is, God is always speaking. But are we always listening? Today I'm gonna tell you, I guarantee that God is not silent. And that God is always speaking to his people. This is one of the things we teach here in Prophetic Ministry 101. That God is always speaking. He always wants to talk to us. He always does. Sometimes we have to change our frequency, so to speak, to be able to hear God. But it doesn't mean that God stopped talking. He's always speaking. But again, the problem is a lot of people simply are not listening. We have so many of us have incredibly busy schedules. How many find yourself, even though we're in this lockdown moment, how many of you find yourself struggling just to have time to breathe? I mean, it's crazy. There's such a sea of demands on our life. It's just like, You know, we're working on, you know, my wife and I are here at the church Monday through Friday, Saturday. We go home, we work, do all our chores on Saturday, and then we're back here on Sunday. That's just how we are. But it's just like, you have to kind of block in this moment. Let's see, 3 weeks from now on Saturday, we have a President's Day. We'll take a day off then. But how many feel that crunch of all the sea of demands and the busyness of life? It's hard. And God's saying, come here. I want to lead you, guide you, and direct you in this moment, but you got to sit down. You got to listen. Most of us, as teenagers, didn't want to listen to anybody. We're back in that mode. God's going, hey, you want to know how to, you go around the mountain again if you want, or you can sit still for a moment and just listen. And God wants to pull us into that moment where we shut down and we block out, we shut off everything around us, and we stop for a moment and we put our ear to God's heart and we listen. You know, it has been said, I've heard this many times from believers over the years, that God never speaks to me. I know that God must be speaking to Cyril. Oh, he's such an amazing, mighty man of valor. I know that God speaks to him, but God just doesn't speak to me. That's not true. God wants to speak to me as much as he wants to speak to Cyril, as much as he wants to speak to all of you. But again, are you listening? And right now with this big old voices going on and all the half-truths and lies and all this stuff, it's caused a lot of doubt to come in and so much clamor and clutter that you cannot focus on one voice, because we haven't learned that skill set of sitting down, stopping everything, taking that moment and giving it to God with all of our heart, totally surrendering that moment to him. I wrote here in my notes, the fact is, however, that most of the time believers aren't listening for what God has to say. They're looking for some form of spectacular guidance. I'm waiting for God to give me a vision. I'm waiting for God to give me a dream. I'm waiting for God to bring six angels in a car. A blue car that has four black pneumatics, that's tires, and one in the spare trunk. Can God work like that? Absolutely. But if that's your heart, you're missing that moment. When God just wanted to speak to you in that still small moment that you had, that quietness of the night or the morning, whatever that moment looks like for you, God simply wanted to speak to you. I had a friend years ago, George Ott. There was a head shop down on G Street years and years and years ago called the Boiled Peanut. Does anybody remember that? Oh, Jim does, yeah. The Boiled Peanut, back in the hippie days. And George and his wife Bev owned it. And George is quite a character. He had this come to Jesus moment, and he really just got on fire. And he was a radical, sold-out hippie. I can't imagine all of the things that he did. He said there wasn't a drug he hadn't done, and he was just so much fun to be around when he became a Christian. He was on fire. Let's go out and preach the gospel. George is 45 below zero. I know, let's just go. That was George. Well, George had moved down to Reading to be part of a church plant down in Reading, and he had a flat tire. I've told some of you this story. He had a flat tire along I-5. And he gets out of the car, and he's going, oh, woo, this is going to be a Jesus moment. Looks at that tire, and he says, trucks are going by. George is just a stream being, man. He was like being buffered by trucks as they went by. He's looking at the tire and going, okay, how am I going to do this? In Jesus' name, tire inflate. He said, I'm walking on trucks going by, and George is being buffeted by the wind. And he said, he's just down there looking at that tire, going, let's see. Now, Jesus raised people from the dead. He could raise this tire from the dead. This tire's dead. Well, only on the bottom, but it's dead. In Jesus' name. And he said, honk, honk. Finally, he put his hand on the car, and he says, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And he says, I hear this small, quiet voice go, George, just change the flat. True story. Oh, the guy was, he wanted to, sidebar note, he wanted to be a biker. And he said, he said, we got this bike, and he said, big old Harley, and he said, all my Harley friends that I wanted to really run with showed up in all these, like, they just had vests on with their bare arms out there. He said, we're like in Illinois or somewhere in the wintertime. Yeah, we're going on a 60-mile ride today, George. You ready? Yeah, I'm ready. He said, I got on that bike, and he said, about 3 minutes into it, I knew I was going to die. And he said, my skinny arms just froze, and my skinny legs froze. We pulled into a gas station. He said, I literally just went with the whole bike. And he said, the biggest bikers came up to me and said, George, you want us to get that bike off you? He said, they literally picked me up, and I'm still glued to the bike. He said, everything's frozen everywhere. Tears are frozen out the side. One of them came and put his hand on my shoulder. He just said, George, this just isn't the life for you. Let's park your bike and call your wife and have her come get you. Oh, he said, talk about the ride of shame home. But, wow. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Now remember, Jesus sent the Spirit of truth to us, who he said would lead us into all truth. Amen? But we got to understand how God communicates to us. And it's not always the big bells and whistles. And I'll tell you, it may not always be the big life events we see going on around us. But we have to be listening for that inner voice of the Lord that's speaking quietly to our hearts. I've watched people navigate this storm in amazing ways, realizing that they are in tune right here in their heart. They're not walking with the natural eyes. They're walking and listening with spiritual ears and a spiritual heart. And when something huge happens, they're not freaking out. They're going, "Huh, that's not God's heart. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to happen. That weapon's not going to work." And they just keep moving forward. Guys, the truth, and some of this I know I'm speaking to the choir, but the truth, the Spirit of the truth was placed in us when we were born again. We know that. And we know that this is God's means of communicating with us. Or at least I hope you know this. And it's his way of leading us in the way in which he wants us to go. So when we read the word, like John 4:24 says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Well, God is spirit. We need to understand that. And he created man in his own image. So that really shows us that we are spirit beings. So when God speaks to us, it is a direct line of communication from his spirit to our spirit, because we're spirit beings. It sounds so basic, but it's so fundamental in our faith. And if we get our head and heart around that, it'll help us navigate so much that's going on. Then we're not swayed by things coming at us because we have this filter that says, "Whoa, wait a minute, that's not how God speaks. God speaks here." God doesn't speak through a screaming voice over there. God speaks to here. Now, in the screaming voice, if God starts speaking here about the screaming voice, pay attention. But I'm telling you, if we can learn to hear from here, we're going to really weather this storm incredibly well. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Now, this verse reads first to our inward assurance that we're born again and we're saved. But I think there's a more general principle to be learned from this scripture, and is that God speaks to us and God leads us by having his spirit bear witness with our spirit. So it is this inward spirit, or this inward witness, to which we must become sensitive. I'm trying to pound on this for a moment. You guys got that? God is speaking. He's speaking to something inside of us, that inward man. We'll talk about the inner man. But what he's speaking to, that we have to become aware and become sensitive to the fact that that's how God primarily communicates to us. It's not through an article you read and you do the freak out. It's not through something coming across the television and you do a freak out. It's God speaking to hear, to your heart. You've got to stop what you're doing. You've got to sit down. You've got to learn to develop this skill set, I'll call it, of learning to listen to the Lord. Now, I don't even need to raise hands, but how many of you actually take the time and the moment to sit down and to really dig into the Word, to meditate on the Word? And when I say meditate, I'm not talking about just pulling a daily bread scripture out of the daily bread thing on the table and reading it, going, "Got my reading done for the day." I'm talking about really opening up the Word and going deep and processing. That's what meditation is. It's literally like a cow chewing its cud, just over and over and over and over. How many of you actually spend time to do that quality time? You don't have to raise your hands, but I'm challenging you in that. Because you need to start doing that. If you want to really hear what God is speaking and saying to you, start reading the Word more. Be faithful. Develop a good spiritual discipline of being able to do that. Sitting down, reading the Word, praying and seeking the Lord. And I'm telling you, he will begin to reveal to you and to speak to you incredible things. And what's awesome is you'll hear it above all the other clamor and all the other noise that's going on. I'm going to stop there. This is going to be a mini-series, but I want to stop there. And we'll pick this up next week. But Got Max coming up. You know, we always in this house, we want to be sensitive to what God's doing. I will never, and never do I ever want to have the curriculum drive me, so to speak. Now, I spend a lot of time writing messages and plotting out series and all that kind of stuff, but I have no problem with stopping and saying something is more important because God is speaking on a different level. Okay? So I want you to hear.
Yeah, I really, I'm not going to share. I'm going to bring somebody up to share a word, but those of you that have a prophetic bent especially, you're really feeling the onslaught of our moment, aren't you? You that are prophetic, you know what I'm talking about. We're in a time where our spirits are really being assaulted, and everything that we feel like the Lord is guiding us and showing us is being challenged severely. And like Doug is saying, I'm finding myself in deep prayer and thought and crying out to God on a regular basis throughout the day. And it just seems like I can never get enough. I just need to find that other voice that is not the clamor of the world that's going around. I've gone to about that much media in my life right now, about that much, because that's all I can handle. My prophetic personality just cannot handle it. So I just removed myself from it entirely, and I'm trying to find the voice of the Lord. So with that, I want to bring up Barb Friedel. She's had a dream and feels like the Lord has spoken to her through it, and I want her to share a little bit of what the Lord is showing her.
Well, first I'd like to say that I was in a lot of turmoil last week after everything that happened. And I, you know, throw the travail. I feel like I got soccer punched in my gut because of my spirit was grieving so heavily. And I know maybe of you, many of you might be feeling that, and maybe you're reeling and you have grief and sorrow. And I was feeling that. And so I do have lots of dreams. And I had a dream that, I didn't realize it at the time, but afterward, I really believe the Lord brought me to heaven. And I was in this room with children, but that really wasn't the impactful part of this. And after that part of the dream was over with the children, I started to hear this singing, this beautiful singing. I mean, it was like my spirit and my soul just, I've never heard anything like it before. And as I woke up, it was like my spirit came out of that place back into my spirit, and I was still attached. It was like a thread. And I got up, I had to run to tell Bob, I tell him my dreams. And I sat down in the chair and I just started sobbing. And I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed, and I realized that God was healing me of those feelings of grief and sorrow as an intercessor. And pretty soon I was laughing and laughing and laughing and making a fool of myself laughing so hard, which I've had happen to me before after a church service. But I just want to say that God gave me such peace. And I felt like when I woke up this morning, there was people here that need peace. And it's not just from the elections. It's from what we've gone through this past year. You may be still carrying a lot of grief or sorrow or disappointment or depression. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to lift that from you this morning, and I want to impart peace to you because he gave me a supernatural peace, and I know that he's got that for you. And if you're all feeling that today, I want you to come forward, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bring my husband Bob up. And if you need a touch from God, I believe you'll get it this morning.
Yeah, if you feel like you just need that, come on up. If you'd rather not have anybody lay hands on you, just stand up where you are, where you feel like you just want to receive that and get set free. And, Barb, I would like you to pray specifically over everybody, just to release something upon them at this moment.
I just, Lord, Holy Spirit, I'm so glad for your guidance.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, in your voice, Father, that speaks to us. And I just declare peace over this body. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
I declare peace over our community, and I declare peace over our nation,
it's good.
Father.
It's good.
In your name, amen.
Amen. Come on up if you'd like prayer specifically.
Again, one of the things I want you to hear is that God is always speaking. And I'm thankful for people like Barb and others who are listening to what God is saying. Amen? That's what I believe the New Testament prophetic ministry is all about. It's about bringing life to people, bringing encouraging, comforting words that stir our hearts and challenge us to want to get back in the game, so to speak. So if you want more, I encourage you just to stand in this moment too, if you want more. If you want to be able to hear God above all the other noise, more and better and clearer, this would be the moment. Get your ears unplugged. Amen? Let's worship Jesus.
Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am the truth, landing in me. The weight of his wind and mercy.
I thank you for all that he brings to the table. Father, I know that you created him for such a time as this. You have placed him. My glory, realize just how beautiful you are. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence. Father, we ask that you would bring us wisdom from heaven. That you would bring with that the voice of reason that brings peace and incredible understanding to all of our situations, God. Father, we need a voice from heaven that we can hear above all the other voices. Your voice. Father, I pray that you would teach us how to tap into your spirit, God, so that we can hear from your heart to our heart, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray for everyone in this room and everyone who's watching from home, Father, that you would begin to bring to us this burning desire to want to know you even more. Father, that we would move into that place where we would truly stop everything that we're doing and take that moment to spend incredible quality time with you. Father, where we would be drawn to your word like food. We would open it with incredible hunger. And in the pages of your word, God, we would find everything that we need. Thank you, God. Father, we don't have peach crates to put our heads in, and we're not trying to recreate a moment. But Father, like William Seymour, we're just bidding you to come. To come and radically change us and radically change the environment around us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I believe with all of my heart that you've given to us the weaponry that we need to destroy all of the sophisticated arguments. Thank you, God. And Father, with that, we just all said yes and amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a safe drive home. No snowballs.